All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. We'll get into – we were efforting our good friend Terry McCormick. We'll bring him on in just a minute. We'll talk a little Titans, then we'll get into the SEC coaching and Kurt Cignetti. I really like this topic because, you know, a year ago – we were 2 years ago when Cignetti started Indiana. We're like, hey, okay, whatever. You know, they'll win a few games, and then – in 2 years, he transformed into a top five college football program.
I mean, he said, Google me. And then after that, it was just.
He did, right?
It was just a domino fall after that.
I mean, the stones on that guy to say that. So good. I mean, and so now they're picked six, which is weird seeing Indiana picked in the top 10 in the preseason college football.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
But you know who else has some stones?
Who?
Terry McCormick.
Is he with us?
Yeah, I think he is.
Let's bring in Terry McCormick, talk a little Titans. Hey, Terry, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I've been running around trying to get my granddaughter all set up for back to school registration and stuff. And, you know, and in between pulling my hair out, enjoying a day off away from the Titans.
But granddaughters take priority over everything that's going on, right?
This is true. This is true.
Terry, before we get going, where can everybody find all of your content?
Well, you can find it on Main Street Media, Joe, which I know you're familiar with that. They also run some of your work. And then on Twitter or X at TerryMC13. And, of course, at TitanInsider.com, which is a part of the Main Street Media Network.
I love it. Terry, let's talk about the first 2 days of practice. And I'm not going to say what's good and bad, but compare the first 2 days of pads to the previous regime. And I got to think, it's almost a 180 out there.
Yeah, it is. And I think you saw that yesterday with the Jeffrey Simmons fight. You know, last year Jeffrey Simmons got into it. I think it was with Cam Ward, wasn't it?
Yes.
That he got into it with, and he was allowed to finish practice. You know, and a lot of people took issue with that, saying you can't have anybody messing with your quarterback, even if your quarterback, you know, is the one who instigated it or whatever. And there's certainly some merit to that. Well, this year he gets into it with Schlotman, you know, and then J.C. Latham, and he takes a swing at Latham yesterday. And so – out you go. You're gone, working on the side field the rest of the day in the heat. So, you know, I think Robert Saleh is saying, hey, no nonsense. You know, I think Brian Callahan and his staff, I think their inexperience kind of led to maybe trying too much to please the players. If you watch the documentary on Netflix where, you know, Cam Ward's first game and Cam essentially talks him into letting him throw a pass on 3rd and 24 and he gets sacked. Takes them out of field goal range. You know, I mean, nothing, you know, I like Brian Callahan, but right there, you got to put your foot down. You got to say, no, we're running this football, kicking a field goal, taking the lead with two and a half minutes to left. You know, and I think Robert Saleh is not going to put up with any of that type of stuff. I think the players are the players, the coaches are the coaches, and the coaches' decisions trump the players' decisions.
Absolutely. Terry McCormick's on the line with us. Terry, give me some optimism. When hearing the news yesterday about Dan Moore Jr. walking off field under his own power, but potential injury in that case, give me some optimism around that, please.
Well, I mean, he walked off the field, so that's generally a good sign. They didn't have to come out and get the cart for him or anything like that. So he may miss a few days, and, you know, if it's not a serious injury, then it actually might be a good thing because it's going to mean that Austin Deculus, Brandon Crenshaw, Dixon are going to get some reps with the first team. They're going to get a chance to go against Jermaine Johnson and some of these other guys and maybe get a chance to hone their skills a little bit and help solve this swing tackle problem that this team certainly has going into this camp. So if you're looking for a silver lining, it's going to give those guys a chance to work with the ones and against better competition to try and, you know, figure out what they're going to do as, you know, with the third tackle. You certainly hope that it's not a serious injury to Dan Moore, because even though Dan Moore is kind of an average player, you know, the bar was much higher for him than it has been for the guys that they've had the last couple of years there.
Yeah, absolutely. Terry, also, to the idea around potential signing there for Peter Skoronski on a new deal, do you see any, you know, into that tunnel there? Is there a potential, you know, pen to paper coming up in the coming days or no?
I think that, you know, it's probably still ongoing. You know, they, as long as they get it done before the regular season, I think it'll be fine. You know, and even if they don't, they'll still have about a 3-week window after the season to negotiate with Skoronski's agent before free agency. And they could always put the franchise tag on him if they need to. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Peter Skoronski is a part of their plans for the future going forward. And the thing is, you know, as much trouble as they've had on the offensive line the last 3 or 4 years, really dating back to 2022 when Ryan Tannehill was beaten to a pulp that year, you know, as many problems as they've had on the offensive line, if you've got a good one, you've got to lock him up and keep him.
Yeah, Terry, adding on to that real quick, I might know the answer to it, but I think you'd be better off to answer it yourself in this case. What's more important, getting a potential swing tackle or another tackle in free agency before signing Peter Skoronski, or getting that deal done, regardless, let's say, if Dan Moore Jr. is not able to go week one?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know you're going to keep Skoronski. That's a given. And whether the deal gets done in 2 weeks or in, you know, in 4 months, it's going to get done one way or the other. I think, you know, ideally you'd like to get it locked away and go ahead and have Peter Skoronski to have that peace of mind, that security of a 4 or 5 year contract extension. I think that would be ideal. As far as the swing tackle situation, you know, that's something that's, you know, to me, that's more the urgent matter, because, you know, you're one play away from Austin Deculus or Brandon Crenshaw Dixon protecting Cam Ward's blind side potentially. And you got to get that figured out if one of those guys can handle it if need be.
Terry, we're talking to Terry McCormick. You can find all of his great content at mainstreetmedia.com. Terry, what, you know, I always tell people, what if it turns out better than you ever imagined? And this is in life, whatever, but what if Dan Moore plays average? What if J.C. Latham plays good? What if they find a center, Terry, who's NFL ready? They got Skoronski. They fill in that left guard. What if they find something with this offensive line? How good can this Titans football team possibly be?
Well, I think they would be certainly better. And I think, you know, I look at it almost from the reverse. I think the defense is going to keep this team in most games, while the offense kind of figures things out. If the line improves, like, you know, like they hope it can, and if they can solidify all these question marks there, then, you know, really everything becomes on Cam Ward and the skill players to take advantage of that, you know, and it'll all be about the growth of Cam Ward as a quarterback rather than Cam Ward running for his life and wondering if he's going to be able to get this snap off before a defensive end is in his face.
Yeah, center-wise, I mean, is it, Pat Coogan, I just love the fact that they have the Rose Bowl MVP on the Titans team right now. I mean, he's a rookie drafted later on. That doesn't make me feel too good about him, but that's a hell of a story if he ends up starting on this football team.
It is. I don't think he's the starter right away. I mean, from what we've seen so far, they've been rotating a lot at right guard between Bolson and Jackson Slater, but Schlotman has pretty much handled the center reps with the first group almost every practice, if not every single practice. And I think he's the guy who's going to have the inside track. Now, he's probably they probably would like it if he were a short-term solution and Pat Coogan could emerge enough to be their starting center for several years beginning in 2027.
Hey,
would be a best-case scenario.
Okay, how's Jackson Slater doing out in camp? Because, you know, the guy out of Sacramento State, drafted last year, heard great things about him. He played very little, but I'm not hearing him, and I read your reports and everybody else's, and I don't hear a lot. I know it's not sexy to talk about a guard. I get that. But that guy was really good in college.
Yeah, I think he's kind of been holding his own and fighting. I think, you know, it's going to be one of those things where it could go down into the wire a little bit, Joe. I mean, you know enough about football to know that, you know, right guard is not the most important position on the line. You can cover for a guy if he's a little deficient in certain areas. If you've got a good center and you've got a good right tackle,
right,
you can kind of let him kind of hold up in there with a little bit of help here and there. But, you know, if Slater could win the job, I think they would be ecstatic about that, because that harkens back to how they used to do things. You remember they would draft a guy with a third-day pick.
Right.
There's numerous of them. Mike Munchak would basically have a red shirt year for them as a rookie. And then by the time they entered training camp in their second year, whether it was David Stewart, Eugene Amano, Justin Hartwig, Leroy Harris, you know, the list goes on and on. Those third-day picks were in there competing and being a solid part of the offensive line starting in year two or three of their career, and Munchak just worked magic turning those guys into players.
Terry McCormick's online with this. Terry, when it comes to this week in training camp with the Pads, what players impressed you the most that could potentially carry over that momentum into the regular season?
I like what I've seen from a couple of the linebackers that are fighting to get in the starting lineup. Anthony Hill had two interceptions yesterday, and he admits that, you know, pass coverage was not his strong suit in college at Texas. He was basically a see ball, get ball guy. But he's made two really nice interceptions yesterday, and he also had a nice pass breakup a few days before. And James Williams is starting to show up. You know, a seventh-round pick from a couple of years ago that has primarily been a special teams guy. He's starting to show up and make some plays. I think linebacker depth is something that might actually be a strength for this team when we kind of thought it was a question mark if this holds up. Elsewhere, I tell you, a guy who impressed me yesterday, you know, everybody's been talking about Carnell Tate, and deservedly so. And everybody's talked about Elik Iomanner, how he's come out of the gate and really looked good in his second camp, and I agree with that. But a guy that really stepped it up yesterday and I thought looked really good was Bryce Oliver. And Bryce Oliver is the type of guy, if you're going to be a winning team, you need guys like that that can be a demon on special teams. But also, if you need him to go catch a pass, he can go. He can do that, and he can, you know, spell guys if they're hurt or spell guys if they need a breather. I thought Bryce Oliver's had a nice couple of days in camp catching the football, called two bombs from Will Levis yesterday.
And one more from me, Terry. A few names that, you know, going to go all over the place here, primarily on the defense. When it comes to Cordell Flott, Keldrick Falk, and in this case, Jackie Marshall as well, how have they looked throughout this week of camp?
Well, Flott, I think, has been pretty good for the most part. You know, he did a good job when he was on Calvin Ridley the other day, and then Ridley went over and Alante Taylor was on him, and Ridley had a little more success against Taylor than he did against Flott. I think Iomanner got Flott, you know, a couple times in the practice, you know, with some big plays. But I think Flott is pretty solid at corner. I think the starting secondary has a chance to be pretty decent. They just can't afford any injuries at any of the five spots back there.
There we go. Terry McCormick, always appreciate you, man. We love the recap. You got us up to knowledge of everything that's going on over there. So we always thank you, Terry. Enjoy the day, well, with your granddaughter. Enjoy the day with your granddaughter. There we go.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.